Okay. Hi, I'm David Sandlands. I'm the community lead and dev relations lead at Puppet. We've got a lot of people here today, so we've got eight Puppet folk here today doing kind of seven talks. I thought it kind of be a good one to kind of do a state of Puppet to kind of highlight kind of what's happened since Puppet 8 and kind of talk through, you know, features and things that have happened, and also just obviously address the elephant in the room of kind of where we are with the change and what the current status is. So in terms of the overview, is to highlight, you know, Puppet 8 was released in April 2023. We are still getting people kind of migrating. Puppet 7 goes end of life in the 28th of February this year. We've, you know, in terms of some things just to highlight immediately, we've been working to get the developer tools up to date. And although we can probably highlight we haven't made enough progress yet, you know, we've been discussing with Vox about how we better consolidate, you know, the development tools we have. Bolt finally reached version 4, which brought it kind of compatible with Puppet 8, you know, towards the end of last year. The Forge has been focused on keeping... helping you keep up to date, and also look at kind of better filtering to kind of work out which modules are kind of properly maintained. And, you know, there was a, you know, I am well aware there was a lot of problems with agent compatibility. So, you know, a considerable amount of work went in from the team to get more agents out. And as late as Debian 12 was, we at least finally got there. Again, my design team immediately asked, did you mean to put the same point twice? Yes, I did. I just want to say, get your ass to Puppet 8. Obviously, the key things was getting to Ruby 3.3, getting to OpenSL 3.0, having string literals in Ruby so you can't reassign variables, having strict mode by default to kind of force the use of data types, and, you know, deferred functions now lazy evaluating, which makes it a lot easier to kind of use deferred functions, you know, with things you're declaring in your code. And, you know, things like sensitive types properly handling in templates, so you don't have to, you know, have a sensitive type be unwrapped inside a template anymore, as long as it's an EPP template. Factor. You know, I feel like when I started working in Puppet in 2012, or it wasn't that long before that, that legacy facts were introduced. So it was a big moment for me to hear we'd finally actually made it, at least by default. And when we come to talk about Puppet 9 in the community today, you know, actually removing legacy facts will be the first thing I want to say. Not strictly coming with Puppet 8 or anything, but I feel like, you know, factor 4 features in terms of benchmarking having been restored, in terms of using caching well and timeouts, those were all things that were kind of missed. And I just wanted to highlight here that we've updated our documentation, so it does highlight for the legacy facts that don't have replacements, what can you use? And obviously, you know, within the PDK and, you know, within Puppet Lint, you know, we have ways of replacing legacy facts. Puppet agents, I was tempted to try and make a full list on here of all the agents that have been added, but it didn't really make sense. It was just too long a list. But, you know, there was a big focus to make sure that ARM and Arch and, you know, things like Amazon Linux 2 were included. And obviously, I'll keep saying it, Debian 12, since Tim had to keep asking me so much. Obviously, the big thing was the auto-renewal certificates, which, you know, allows a much shorter time of life to be applied to certificates, which has been a big use for customers. We've had this agent improvement, so there is a FIPS-compatible Java key store now. And reports by default no longer send unactioned events, because we found there was this desire to kind of hold so much data in PuppetDB that really was of no use to anyone. Now, obviously, you can turn that back on and still get unreported events. That might matter to, you know, your auditing people, but, you know, by default, we're looking to kind of smooth that down. In terms of Puppet Server, Hira 3 is finally dropped. The compile API endpoint now supports structured facts, shout out to Tim, and deferred functions. So, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, in terms of, and I know I shouldn't be saying impact analysis at this conference, but in terms of getting the kind of features of impact analysis, that API is key. The Puppet Server CLI tool now has a prune subcommand, And there's been an improved and expanded set of Puppet DB metrics, along with Puppet Server now creating JRuby instances concurrently. The Puppet Server list was the kind of best, so Puppet Server now supports machines with more than 2 terabytes of RAM. We've added a bulk certificate signing endpoint. Java 8 support is dropped. Java 17 is now the preferred version to run Puppet Server with Puppet DB. And Puppet Server will support Java 11 for as long as any of our supported operating systems only have Java 11 available. Bolt, this was very personal for me since I got the product manager role for Bolt. So Bolt 4 was finally released. It shipped, with Puppet 8 and Ruby 3.3, and we made sure that agents were added for, Debian 12, Fedora 40, and modern Mac OSs, which included ARM architectures. The developer experience, I'm sure Jordan will be delighted that I put his face there. That is from the recording where, we're just kind of showing, no, we don't have AI in our product, but, we have lots of recommended ways to kind of work with AI. And just, use it to get, my typical example is saying, if you haven't put your types on yet, AI can make a shockingly good guess at most of what your thing should be, but for God's sake, check it. PDK 3.x was released and has had 6 releases since. The key thing we're trying to highlight with PDK now is there shouldn't feel like a need to upgrade to every PDK version. There should be a feeling that, 3.x PDK releases should be binary compatible. We did a lot of work to kind of rationalize the PDK templates and just generally reduce the size of PDK because so much was thrown into it at different points. The VS Code extension has had 5 releases. Looking to fix bugs and issues that were raised, and also just looking to make sure that everything was working with the modernization to Puppet 8. And we also ensured that Puppet was an approved supplier on Visual Studio Code Store. And I appreciate immediately there's lots of ways to get that approved badge, so it's not absolutely bulletproof, but it at least highlights, we are the author. And the long-standing thing of the documentation for Puppet Lint and Puppet RSpec being only hosted, on non-Puppet-owned sites and referring to old material, we updated our GitHub repos so that we're now hosting modern versions of the documentation. The Forge, so because the question about monetization was raised, I did ping back to our product team who are now in our time zone. They did confirm that those former plans for any monetization are no more. That was reconsidered and reviewed with the change of product leadership. Our focus has been in terms of things like the compatibility reports and the ability to subscribe to modules to help you kind of keep up to date and see the information coming in the Forge. What we want to do is we want to kind of talk with the community. When we're looking at OpenVox, we want to kind of modernize the module specification and modernize the Forge. So ideally we can, look to adapt these tools so that you can do that comparison across Puppet, OpenVox, and others. And we also introduced organizations because there was that old problem of, you have your own personal Forge account, but then if you're part of a company or an organization, you kind of need to have that grouping together. The change. I've whizzed through that first 10 minutes because I wanted to kind of get to the chance to kind of speak more about, particularly about this, and have the chance for questions and feedback. The first thing I'd highlight is all the current binaries are going to remain in place. Nothing's going to be taken down. I haven't got it up here, but I should probably confirm that PDK is not affected and will not be going private. But things like Puppet Agent, Puppet Server, Puppet DB, and Factor right now are all being worked off on a private repo. The source code in the public repos will remain under the Apache license. Critical CVEs 9+ will be fixed. We're currently working on a process for how to process pull requests to support community users who want to make updates into those repos. And, you know, as has been discussed, you know, several times, the Puppet 9.x will be working with the Standard Steer Committee to partner with users and community, you know, to discuss how we create specifications, you know, not just for the language, but for other aspects like, you know, also Bolt has probably had kind of a weaker specification it should have, and things like modules and Puppet file and things like that. In terms of very quickly to cover it, because I appreciate it's not the space to try and sell products, but the, you know, what was the kind of binaries we had will be in a Eula-signed repo area. There will be Puppet Core, which sort of reflects what the open source packages are today, which, you know, as has already been highlighted, are free up to 25 nodes with signed Eula or a paid for amount after. And Puppet Enterprise will also be in that same location. So I've done this in half the time I should have. Are there any questions, confirmations I can do just now? And obviously, if there's anything I need to take away, I'll absolutely bring back.
You said Puppet 8 ships with Ruby 3.3?
Is yes.
Because last time I checked, it was 3.2.
Have I made a horrible mistake? This is the problem with having five sets of slides to actually, I'll do that for the benefit of the recording. It was asked, am I actually right with Ruby 3.3? No, it is Ruby 3.2, I'm sorry. So, yes.
You mentioned that Puppet Server is now able to handle up to 2 terabytes. It was one of the second or third slide you had approximately.
Yes.
Does this mean you also have solved the problem that you cannot spin more than 32 JRuby instances?
So just for the recording, the question was, having got 2 terabytes of RAM compatible, have we solved the problem of having more than 32 JRuby instances? I don't actually know. I will take that question away and get answered.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you. Do you think the threshold for critical CVEs 9 plus is acceptable? I mean, I think most companies would probably start getting worried at any of the sort of 8-point-something, and yeah, might like to see not sooner than that.
Sure. Is 9 plus like an acceptable level for CVE? I think with all this, the difficulty is Puppet's, you know, Puppet and Perforce are trying to step back and move to kind of more of a partnership basis, and working out exactly what's right is difficult. So what I'd kind of encourage is, you know, for that, it's definitely something we can talk about and work out. And, you know, for across everything, you know, particularly in the community day, that's what we want to kind of talk about is, you know, from what we've set out right now, what is missing? What do you want to challenge? Because everything beyond the point of, are we going to completely go back? We're not. But in terms of how we're working, if there's specific things that aren't working, then we can absolutely look at it and kind of have that reviewed. Sure.
When can we expect more about these changes? Because you had this blog post last year about this coming.
Yeah.
Will change in the beginning of 2025, I think it said.
Yeah.
And you will publish more conditions about how, like the licensing and how to, if you have more than 25 nodes.
Yeah.
So I don't think there has been any new update on that.
No, so yeah, the question is, you know, when can we expect more updates? You know, we had the, I feel like it was November blog update, and then we had a January town hall, beautifully close to my birthday for fun. So when can we expect it? So I think I should have put it in these slides actually. For my community talk, I kind of have, you know, a highlighting a timeline. So, you know, through quarter one, you know, we kind of want to get more of these things nailed down. Obviously, the last kind of release was October, and you know the releases that will be coming out in February, you know, are, you know, will not be going to public repos. So we obviously need to have these things sorted as soon as possible.
So what you're saying is the very next release that's coming, the
Yeah. Pull
fixes is not going to be public anymore, but also there's nothing in place yet to get the private releases.
Currently, yes. So right now, I mean, obviously, if there was something, a vulnerability so critical and we weren't in a position to release those public repos and get people signed up for Eula, we'd obviously go back and, you know, sort that. But you know, assuming nothing major comes out, our expectation would be the February release will be the first one to EULA, and we'll obviously, you know, be having the details, you know, it'll have to be within the next few weeks.
Waiting on this conference, wasn't it?
Yes.
A lot of discussions are intended to happen during the community day after tomorrow, and a lot of the written stuff depends on the outcomes of that.
Yeah, just again, for the benefit of the recording, highlighting that, you know, we're not trying to be unspecific about things. We want to specify as much as we feel we can be sensible about, but we also kind of recognize if we're moving to partnership, it can't just be Perforce saying, hey, this is the way we're going to do everything. Because, you know, it's been clear for a while we've had clashes and we've had prioritization problems, and we kind of want to work out, you know, what is the structure we work out these things for. There's always going to be a little bit of, so maybe an understatement there, there's always going to be a little bit of a clash between those kind of business needs and those open source needs and those priorities. But I think that kind of common ecosystem and keeping it together is the kind of most critical thing.
So the eventual pushing changes to the public repos, is it any closer to knowing what sort of time frame we're talking about? Is this 2 months after release, 6 months, or a year, or is it definitely going to happen?
So basically, that process has been confirmed. I think part of the difficult thing here is obviously people want guarantees of when it's going to happen, but part of the change is basically to say, you know, that we want to kind of get vulnerabilities and features to our enterprise customers first, and, you know, part of the thing that's being paid for is the guarantee of SLA on fixes. So I'm trying to walk that tightrope of, yes, you obviously need to know, saying like, yes, we'll push something eventually. Well, is that 2 years or is that 6 weeks? You know, and I think we, you know, we will, part of being here, we will kind of talk to people to say, well, what is reasonable? You know, what makes an acceptable amount to say, even if it's not guaranteed? But yeah, that's something we definitely want to work out.
I think maybe the community would be sad to see if there'd been some changes made in the fork that had found their way into your commercial product. If we saw those changes had been made available to customers for 2 years, or, you know, if that's a very long period, it might seem like a very much a one-way street.
So that's something I want to talk to people about, and, you know, during the community day, is what I'd like to produce is a kind of state of open source and Puppet. I think there's been, for a long period, it hasn't been clear, you know, who's contributing what. You know, we talk a lot about how, you know, how many Vox tools are in, you know, commercial products and things like that. And it would be good probably to keep everyone honest and kind of, you know, make sure that, you know, if we are taking a lot out, then we should be putting more in. And just kind of giving that visibility, and, you know, if ultimately we, you know, we want to kind of share features across products, it needs to be clear that it's not kind of Perforce harvesting features from, you know, from the open source work and then adding our own on top to kind of have it both ways. So, you know, I want to have that transparency, and I appreciate, you know, the immediate response to that would be a private repo doesn't have transparency, but, you know, we need to kind of find a way to do that correctly. Yeah.
To license the new Puppet packages, is there like also like a private GitHub repo where you can see what's happening? Like if there's some issue and I want to like track down the release where it was introduced or something, or will it just be a black box like a proprietary software?
So the question was, you know, are we going to have a mechanism in terms of, you know, the private packages to kind of, you know, properly list issues and, you know, be able to kind of report and kind of get fixes in? Is that the...
Also just looking at the source commits or whatever, like,
yeah,
having an idea of what the changes have been, like, actually we look at the code, because right now if I have a packet issue,
yes,
I go and see what changed, and the new packages wouldn't have that, that would be a downgrade for us.
So yeah. So again, just for the benefit of recording, so it's just kind of saying that thing of, if you're looking at open source Puppet right now, you can see the commits, you can kind of raise issues against them, either contributing or kind of just, you know, directly in my own career, being able to go and say, this thing's not working, oh, I can see it was that commit right here. You know, we are talking about how a developer program, you know, it should work. You know, we want to kind of, you know, developers to have access to the six weekly build, you know, to, you know, with a kind of signed EULA. But that's something we need to work out with, again, work out over the community day as to, you know, what mechanisms do we need there? So I will kind of apologize that I keep saying we need to work it out, but kind of I want to work it out with you, because if it's just simply us dictating it, we're definitely going to get it wrong.
I mean, in the past, I guess the community's been able to track down when like regressions have been introduced using like Git bisect or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be losing that ability, obviously,
yes,
if the community can't see any of that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, again, for the recording, so if we, you know, from private record, from private repositories, you know, we lose the, you know, ability to use Git bisect and other tools from the community. And yeah, and that's what we're going to have to think about in terms of, you know, how can we, what compromises can we find, you know, what can we do to kind of limit any impact there? Sure. Well, release it publicly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was an inevitable question. If you're not prepared for that, then you haven't thought about it at all. So I think there's, the business view is that they want to be in a place where essentially companies who are making the payment to have the product are getting features and, you know, bug fixes and vulnerability fixes first. So that you know, that's a simple answer on it. Well, I guess it depends what you think, you know, because if you release the source code at the same time, then ultimately anyone can package that and build it and have the same advantage. If you release the source code at the same time, then ultimately anyone could package and build within a very short time and release the exact same thing.
They would like an equal footing on our modules, and then like an equal footing on the public code.
And the customers, they would be the public core customers, that might make sense.
Yeah, so you know, when I'm talking about customers, it'd be Puppet Core customers and Puppet Enterprise customers, because ultimately, I mean, this is where it kind of swaps around, because in this model, Puppet Enterprise is essentially getting things first, and then Puppet Core is actually behind Puppet Enterprise. Yeah.
You just mentioned Puppet Enterprise. So I assume that you could like license the Puppet Core product.
Yes.
Enterprise is still like an extra thing with more features, right? So this is the change.
So
licensing costs of Enterprise are not going to be the same as whatever.
Yes, so Puppet Core is going to be at a lower price point,
yes,
to reflect the fact, because it will reflect two things. You know, ultimately it will give you kind of supported and packaged binaries, but it wouldn't be the kind of traditional, you know, raise kind of full cases with support.
Yes.
Now there's more details needing to be published about that as those packages become available. But the other thing, just again to highlight, is, you know, Puppet Enterprise would be released ahead of Puppet Core. So Puppet Core would be like a, you know, minus one in terms of how agents were released for it and things like that.
You mentioned Puppet 9, but I don't think you said anything about like technical plans or a roadmap. The question for me would be, does it make sense even to license like Puppet going forward if there's nothing interesting feature-wise and I can depend on OpenVox for maintenance? Like, what's the selling point for me to use Puppet going forward?
Yeah, so what's the selling point of using Puppet going forward if, you know, right now, if we're going to work on a common language specification and ultimately Puppet 9 is going to be agreed between community and Puppet, the selling point we're saying is Puppet has reached, you know, a very mature state. And the thing that ultimately you're paying for in that is, you know, ultimately how we're guaranteeing, you know, the security and, you know, as an enterprise organization, how we guarantee that to those enterprise customers. Oh, we're out of time. Sorry. I let my time run over. Sorry. Thanks very much. And hope to see you on the community day.